there. Now, so I was going to mention to you why Bruce Cockburn wrote this particular song. He was walking by a schoolyard one day, and he noticed two teenagers embracing one another in the schoolyard among their peers and the adults around them. And the thought immediately came to him, and this was 1984, how could they be lovers or to love in a dangerous time as then? And other reasons why he wrote the song were the AIDS epidemic and also the fighting and wars going on in Central and South America at that time. He later went to South America and Central America and did a tour to help people down there by giving away a lot of the proceeds from his concerts. So I'm guessing at least a number of people here were not yet born in 1984. I'm not going to ask who. That's none of my business. But it was the early stages of the millennial generation cohort. The baby boom generation was just leaving young adulthood. The Gen X generation were teenagers, as all teenagers do, trying to figure out what life was all about and how not to be too crazy by it. So let's go to do a time trip to 1984. For those of you who remember, and those of you for whom it is only a date. It was an election year when President Ronald Reagan was running for re-election. He beat Walter Mondale in a landslide, taking 49 out of 50 states. The future looked rather grim. Here at this church, there were 14 new members in 1984 during the ministry of Reverend Kirk Ballen. Does anybody remember him? Okay, good. Excellent. The year itself had special significance, as many of us know. The book 1984 by George Orwell had been published in 1949. And if you recall, the novel was set in the year 1984, when most of the world population had become victims of perpetual war, omnipresent government surveillance, and propaganda. Nothing that we've heard about, certainly. The book itself became the theme of the first ad by Apple for the Macintosh computer. It was played just once at the 1984 Super Bowl. Does anybody remember that? Not the Super Bowl, but you do. Thank you, John. Anybody who may remember it will recall a group of androgynous persons, gray, very, very neutral, marching into an auditorium. And they enter the auditorium and they go to sit down in all these rows and they're going to listen to a figure of a man on the screen. And the man speaking on screen is taken from the Big Brother figure in the novel, 1984. Immediately after that, a young woman runs into the auditorium, followed at full speed by police in armor, helmets, and large nightsticks. She was carrying a sledgehammer. She gets close to the screen, followed by the police, as the speaker on the screen says, "We will prevail." She throws the hammer into the screen, and then there follows an explosion of light. And a voiceover says, "On January 24th, Apple Computer will introduce Macintosh, and you'll see why 1984 won't be like 1984. The commercial, as I said, was played only once and is now considered one of the best commercials of this era. It was also a premonition of the future, and I'll come back to that later. So really was it that 1984 was dangerous, a time to be in love? Well, the threat of nuclear war was still an invisible presence. President Reagan had called the Soviet Union the evil empire, which did not endear him to them. The Eastern European Warsaw Pact seemed invincible, with Soviet troops and nuclear missiles at the ready. We civilians tried to ignore the threat of nuclear war. People fell in love, got married, had children. And we all kept fingers crossed that no one would push a button somewhere far away and end our lives in another blinding flash of light. And I looked online last night, and I don't know if any of you remember The Day After, the movie that was televised on television about, and that came out in late 1983, and it was still resonating the feelings of that particular movie in 1984. But the far more serious reality of the AIDS epidemic was in front of all of us in 1984. The AIDS virus had been isolated and identified, but there was still no cure or vaccine. Over 4,000 North Americans had died already, the majority of them gay men. The gay rights movement took on a greater urgency with the advent of AIDS. President Reagan had refused to mention the term AIDS publicly until 1985, and he refused to endorse AIDS education. People across the gender spectrum were isolated and silenced unless they conformed to a strictly binary man-woman sexual identity. Now, even then, in 1984, there were a minority of Americans supporting gay rights. It was about 30% in that year. A number of California cities had approved ordinances to prevent discrimination towards gays and lesbians for housing and employment. So it was a start. Then there was immigration. That also was a hot topic in 1984, as more people from the Caribbean and South Central American countries came to the United States. And many, if not most of them, were undocumented. President Reagan in 1984 said these words, "I believe in the idea of amnesty for those who have put down roots and lived here, even though some time back they may have entered illegally." 2 years later, in 1986, a sweeping bill was passed cracking down on illegal immigration, but offering amnesty to anyone who had entered the country before 1982. AIDS, flagrant racism, immigration, the threat of World War were all part of Bruce Coburn's song in 1984. And yet somehow, collectively, we have survived. We've endured and carried on the work of love for all people and beings. So let's fast forward back to the present day today. Is loving in a dangerous time still apply to us? Well, we might say that things have gotten much worse. Immigration in this country continues to demand our attention. I'm sure we are all very aware of the tragedies on our southern border with Mexico. We know about children separated from their families, other adults and children dying trying to cross the Rio Grande or through the desert. People are still fleeing Africa and the Middle East in search of safe havens. Racism and tribalism continue to be rampant in this country and around the world. But yet, not all the news of living in a dangerous time, loving in a dangerous time, is bad. There's another phrase in the Coburn song which has inspired other singers and listeners, including you too. It reminds us that love is not for the faint-hearted. Lyrics go, "Nothing worth having comes without some kind of fight. Got to kick at the darkness until it bleeds daylight. Nothing worth having comes without some kind of fight. Got to kick at the darkness until it bleeds daylight." And in fact, there was a album made for Bruce Coburn as he was aging by other rock groups, and it was called "Bleeding." Kick into darkness until it bleeds daylight. And that particular phrase has been repeated many times. And the phrase sounds somewhat ferocious, and it's meant to be, Bruce Coburn said he wrote the words very deliberately because sometimes love has to be fierce. Now, it's tempting in this day and age to want to turn away from the troubles of the world, pull a blanket over our heads and say, let us know when it's done. But look at what people like you have done in the last 35 years. I think of marriage equality, affirmed by the U.S. Supreme Court in June of 2015. And yes, there's still fierce resistance by religious and secular organizations. And yes, there's still bigotry and bias against gay and trans people. Efforts are still being made to make equality unequal once again. But here's the remarkable thing to me. In just 4 years, how rapidly marriage equality is just becoming normal. The freedom to love someone because they are worthy and deserving of love is still being learned, but we have come a long way, not just since 2015, but since 1984. The hashtag MeToo movement has opened up a desperately needed conversation about how women have been treated as lesser human beings for generations and millennia. Men, slowly and timidly perhaps, have begun to be more respectful and mindful of women's rights to their own bodies, income, career options, and independent lives. Is that work done? Hell no. But we're continuing. And surveys indicate that this is especially true for those of the millennial generation who just say, what is there an issue about? Of course women are equal to men. Of course gays, lesbians, and trans community are equal. What is the problem? Race and the story of racism in this country is about moving from hatred to authentic relationships built on mutual trust and, again, equality. And that conversation and discernment is a vital part of the UUA now. And it's happening all over this country, thanks in major part to Black Lives Matter. Finally, any comparison between 1984, when Lovers in a Dangerous Time was produced, and today must include the information age, the digital age, whatever you want to call it. I mentioned the Apple advertisement for 1984 earlier. In Harper's Magazine in 2014, an activist and environmentalist named Rebecca Solnit wrote these words. She said, I want to yell at that young woman with her sledgehammer, don't do it! If you think a crowd of people staring at one screen is bad, just wait until you've created a world in which billions of people stare at their own screens even while walking, driving, eating in the company of friends, all of them eternally elsewhere. I know this doesn't happen to us, but it happens to other people. And she was quite ferocious about what she was saying in the interview. And it's all valid criticism. But there's more than one side to that grim outlook. Consider how social media, search engines, smartphones, tablets, and other technological tools have helped us to learn fitfully how to love one another, even to the stranger. Social media were primary vehicles to organize and carry out the massive demonstrations right after Inauguration Day in 2017. Anybody remember that? Good. Worldwide climate crisis movements have grown thanks primarily to young women leading the way through social media. The Sunrise Movement, Extinction Rebellion, and Fridays for the Future are just three of those movements. The Black Lives Matter movement was energized by the ability to video incidents between law enforcement and black and brown-skinned people. People in restaurants, coffee shops, and many other public locations have videoed ugly scenes when people have made racist, sexist, and other derogatory parts to people who had every right to be where they were. And I'm sure we cannot forget all the times when law enforcement personnel have stretched the ability of what they're supposed to be doing and killed innocent black people in the back or strangled them. The videos show that. Such awful scenes as all those would have been kept secret 35 years ago. We didn't have cell phones with video or camera capacities. But now what is happening everywhere, not only in this country but around the world, now we are all able to bear witness and show up in the name of love when these tragedies and this violence happens to those who do not deserve it. Love is not for the faint of heart. It must be aware, as Alice Walker wrote, that the beating of a heart should kill no one. That means no one is left out, even those who we might disagree with politically. There's no time to waste, future to unfold. I'm going to end with these words slightly adapted that was written on an index card here weeks ago when Rick Holmgren spoke. Love peacefully. Love and gratitude. Love and grace. So live gracefully and with love. May it be so.